creating cultural awareness and understanding. This is Culture Click. Culture Click is written and produced by KQAL-FM on the campus of Winona State University.
Today on Culture Click, we talk to Crane Stein of America's Three. America's Three is a musical variety show that paints a multilingual, intercultural, and international portrait of what it means to be an American, whether it's South, Central, or North American. I'm Bill Stoneberg with Karine Stein of America's Three on Culture Click.
Far, we've been traveling far, without a home, but not without a star. On the boats and on the planes, they're coming to America. Never looking back again, they're coming to America. Got a dream to take.
I'm here with Karine Stein, and she's a member of America's Three, which is a musical group, but much more than that. They sometimes include other things such as workshops on diversity, school assemblies, master classes, lectures, and a variety of topics. Thanks for being on our show today, Karine.
Thank you so much for letting me to be part of this experience of your audience.
Can you, for our listeners who may not know, can you tell us a little bit more about what America's Three is and what it does?
America's Three, I would describe as a thought-provoking variety show. It contains many, many different musical styles and short segments of various literary pieces from the Americas. And I have chosen those songs and literary pieces to fit six themes, which we all have in common. Wherever you're from in the Americas. So we open with migration as the theme, and then we go on to suffering, to work, love, sense of place, and the last section is celebration. And those are universal themes. I could have chosen other universal themes, but those somehow came naturally to me. And I think they're as relevant today as they were yesterday as they will be tomorrow. So I think that's maybe what was on my mind.
Those are very relevant themes for today. I was going to ask if you chose those just because of that, or?
You know, I embarked on this project 4 years ago. It all started with me being on a flight over various countries of the Americas in a matter of 3 weeks, and I was able to see North, Central, and South America during these flights. And all the flights were during the daytime, and miraculously, there were no clouds on any of those flights, and I was able to see all those places that I flew over from above. And it was very, very touching, and I looked at that, and I thought, this is home. I'm looking at home, and I was able to recognize that's Quito right there, and that's the mouth of the Amazon, and it was just incredibly touching. And so it came out of a place of love. There was no particular premeditated agenda in all of this. It was a desire to summarize, first of all, me. I'm a South American. I was a South American girl, a Central American teenager, and then later became a North American adult. So it was kind of what I was flying over reflected my own personal journey. But then the next step was thinking that here we are occupying this immense stretch of two continents that are home to all of us, and I started thinking, well, you know, these are themes that affect all of us, that are part of all of us. So there was no particular thought about today's situation at all as I embarked on this project. It just happens to be relevant.
Cool. It sounds like that was a pretty beautiful experience to see the Americas without borders, and you know,
it brought tears to my eyes, literally.
Wow. What do you think it means, really, to be an American?
It means one thing in one town, and it means another thing in a different town within the same country. We all have shared experiences. You know, we all feel hunger. We all need to eat. Mm-hmm. We all raise children if we have them. We all need to observe traffic rules if we're in a city. But how exactly that plays out varies. So if somebody, I now have been living in Iowa for a while, if somebody in Newton, Iowa says, come over for supper, which is a term I had to learn. I always called it dinner. That's mm-hmm. how I learned it in school.
Right.
But here it's supper, and somewhere else they call it dinner. And then what does this family call supper in Newton, Iowa, and what does another family call supper in somewhere in Louisiana? It means exactly what a family shapes it to be, and it means exactly what an individual shapes it to be. But despite it all, despite those huge variations in how we approach everyday life and the bigger issues of life, we still manage to do this all by occupying the same space. And the hope is, of course, that we manage to do it without being angry or rejecting people for how they look or what their accent sounds like. But what it means to be American is profoundly individual and profoundly regional.
Wow. So it sounds like America's Three kind of celebrates our differences as well as our similarities.
Exactly. And the point is, we are who we are. I mean, I have packed 29 musical pieces into a one-hour production.
Oh, wow.
Obviously, we're not, we're playing shorter versions of these musical pieces. But somebody might say, well, that's a lot for 1 hour. Why don't you just do fewer? My point is, as Americans, and I, as a South American, use that term very consciously to mean as Americans everywhere, North and South America.
Mm-hmm.
As Americans, we are all those things all at once, all the time, every day. We are blonde, we are black-haired, we are Spanish-speaking, we're Portuguese-speaking, we're Lakota-speaking, all at once, every day. And so, in a way, this production is a snapshot in a very condensed format, in a very condensed space, right there on stage.
Cool. And, it sounds like you have a very international view of what it means to be an American. Why do you think that's important to have in this day and time?
Well, simply because we are connected, whether we know it or not. Every time you reach for a banana, you are connected to the lives of people a couple thousand miles away from you who have raised these bananas, who have packaged them, harvested them, put them on a ship, got the ship to come here, and then other people elsewhere ended up bringing these products to your supermarket. Every time you inhale, you're sharing air with people in the Amazon, where the air that you're breathing here is purified, partially purified. I mean, every day you put on clothing, pay attention to the label. Where was this clothing made? It is completely inevitable that we be connected every day, and we don't stop to think about it. And so partly this production is important because it connects us in a positive way to other people and maybe makes us think a little bit about that we don't live in isolation. And to pretend that we can do that is an illusion.
Yeah, it's we don't live in a bubble, do we? It sounds like we kind of rely on each other no matter how far apart it seems.
Whether we know it or not.
Yeah.
We are intertwined.
Definitely. So you mentioned that it was relevant today. Why do you think it's so relevant at this day?
Because it seems that despite media, despite good schooling, despite, or maybe because of media, I'm not sure, despite all those things, we seem to have stepped back and become more isolationist in our thinking as a society. And when I say we, I'm not a citizen of this country, so I don't necessarily think of the United States. I think worldwide, as humans, right now we're in a phase where we seem to be protecting our little home turf at the expense of others, not realizing that, aside from, it's humanly wrong to be nasty to others just because they're different, but despite the fact that again, it's this illusion that we have that we can be separate, that it just doesn't work. And today there seems to be a worldwide movement in that direction to for people to want to be separate and to at all costs exclude others, even through violence. And so because we're in this worldwide trend, I think it is especially relevant right now to just say, let's slow down, let's look at the shared experiences we have, and maybe, I don't know, we all do what we can to try to improve the world, I think.
Right, definitely. It seems like the more we exclude ourselves and each other, we break those connections you talked about, it seems, you know, and that, to me, that sounds like it'd be very detrimental.
We break those connections, and it's obviously detrimental to the others that we're directly being, towards whom we're directly being aggressive. But the interesting thing is, it also hurts us for all of those reasons that I mentioned earlier. If you want to eat, you depend on others. If you want to wear clothing, you depend on others. If you want to have clean water and clean air for you and your children and your grandchildren, you depend on others. So the isolationist thinking is just simply flawed.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And, you know, speaking of the show itself, it's performed in multiple languages. Do the audience, do they need to be multilingual to really understand the performance, or does that come through?
I don't think you need to be, but that's my perspective from being a multilingual person. There is a program which we actually don't encourage you to read while the show is going on, but, you know, look at it ahead of time and look at it afterwards just to get a sense of the story. The program includes a story about each piece that I've selected for this production. What I encourage audiences to do is there are projections that give you the title or the translation of the title that kind of guides you through the production, and there we project also the section name, so now you know you're in the work section or in the migration section of the show. My feeling is, you know, I'm an immigrant and I'm a migrant, and in coming to new places, I've simply had to deal with not understanding and not knowing every word. And so in a way, I'd like to have the audience just kind of relax. Don't worry about the meaning of every word that is being said. Well, the spoken words are all in English, but the songs are in a mix of languages. So just relax. Resist that nervousness that especially people in monolingual countries experience. I find a lot of people in the U.S. who are monolingual just tensing up when somebody uses in song or in speech a language they don't understand. And I want to encourage them through this production and just say, you know, enjoy the beauty of the show, because it is a beautiful show. And it doesn't have a political agenda particularly. I never intended it to have that. I simply wanted to show who we were and what we had in common and how our differences were expressed. And if you don't understand every word, imagine yourself as a migrant, as an immigrant. And you kind of observe and take it all in at face value. Don't allow yourself to get nervous or uptight. Just enjoy the show. If you don't understand the word, maybe pay attention to the rhythm or the gestures of the performers. All of those tell a story. So I think, in a way, not having every word explicitly translated is part of the experience of being American.
Yeah, you know, I mean, from my personal experience, you know, I've listened to some music from other cultures and different languages, and I find that it's a good introduction, you know, to another culture. You just by listening to the music and the language, it almost opens you up, I think, to more.
Well, and it's fun just to put yourself into the position of being an observer. Mm-hmm. Enjoy the privilege of being an observer without having to endure the stress of finding a job while you don't speak a language. Here, you're just an audience member, and it's a luxury to be an observer, and something that could be very, very enjoyable. But you know, having said all that, half the show is in English, so it's not like everybody's going to be lost all the time.
Right. Okay. Do you perform this just in the U.S., or do you go to the other Americas to
We have not taken it abroad yet, simply because it's a large production and the cost is pretty daunting.
Okay.
But the dream is to maybe get a grant or something and be able to go to some other countries with it.
Cool. And you mentioned the themes and the bulk of the tunes that you perform. Do those change every time, or do they kind of stay the same? Or
no, they stay the same. And what we're trying to do is, for example, our plan is if we go to a different region of the U.S. or another country, the themes stay the same, the structure of the show is scripted, but we have the option of taking one song out and putting in its place a song that is somehow relevant to that culture, just to connect at least with one piece, if we change locations and are in a context that is very different. So we have that flexibility, and that's our goal, to, as we move, and especially as we take it to new countries, to always include something from that country, so that, again, the point is made, we have this in common.
Cool. Speaking of this show, you also do workshops and things of that nature, workshops
right.
on diversity?
Right. We have musically themed workshops that are a lot of fun and have
cool.
some hands-on activities that, for example, we have one workshop on diversity where we teach people how to play panpipes, South American panpipes.
Nice.
And we structure the workshop in such a way that they get to play the panpipes within minutes, and they get to play it first to a tune that's familiar to them, and then to a tune that they've never heard before, and they compare the two experiences, and it's a little bit parallel to what it feels like to change countries. And you come with a set of skills, and the terms of the instrument is you know how to hold a panpipe, you know how to blow it to make a sound. So you come with a set of skills, but then circumstances change. For example, I'm giving you a tune now that you've never heard before, and all of a sudden you're clueless and helpless. Well, that's what happens to us. I may have come to this country with a fairly decent knowledge of English, which I acquired in school, but once I arrived here, I was at a loss for many things, including from, you know, what's the proper way to cross a street, and where do you do it, and you get honked at, and you get some angry responses because you take a longer time to read a label or a sign as you're trying to understand how the rules work in this new situation. And music is a great vehicle to do that exercise in a fun way and kind of mirror what it feels like to have a set of skills, but then take those skills to a new environment where those skills, in part, are useless.
Yeah, that sounds like it would be very beneficial for people in their thinking, you know, of the world.
And it's fun. I mean, we really try to do it in a fun, non-pontificating way. It's just hands-on, and here we are.
Cool. Is it just like in educational settings, or do you do corporate events on diversity as well, or...?
Oh, we do it in all settings. We have done it for universities, corporations, and, of course, schools, sometimes even private events. So, absolutely, what those workshops do, and the other thing that we do is, for example, after a performance, if there's time, we can host a talk-back session where we reflect upon what the performance showed and what it brought up in people's minds and hearts. Oftentimes we have quite emotional reactions to what they see in America's Three. And so that's another kind of workshop that we do where we just converse a bit more about what they saw and also about music and identity. And it's all these workshops, all these other activities, whenever a community asks for them or a university asks for them, help make them bring more meaning to America's Three and any of the performances that group or other groups that we perform with do.
Cool. It sounds like it'd be very beneficial in even a corporate setting.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, you know, I did also read that at some of the schools that you perform at, you have something called critical response. Can you kind of tell us a little bit about what that is?
Critical response is a fascinating technique which invites...
Okay.
Encourages the participants to slow way down. And so you have people reflect upon what they just saw. And let's say we perform a South American salsa piece. And usually when you discuss art with students and with anybody, really, we tend to immediately apply meaning to something, our interpretation to something.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe somebody is tempted to say, well, there was just all this energy, and people were just seemed so happy, and okay, and so then with critical response, what you do is you slow that way down, and you break it down, and you say, tell me exactly what you saw. Well, I saw these people all happy. Well, do you know that those people were happy? Tell me just what you saw. Mm-hmm. Were they moving their feet? What were their hands doing? Were their voices, you know, just neutral descriptions?
Wow.
And it helps suddenly see art. It helps us see art in a much more mindful and thoughtful way without immediately interpreting and immediately assigning our own meaning to something. And it's a beautiful exercise because it's easy to do it with art, but then if we learn to do it with art, then maybe we can apply it to our own lives. Again, that slowing down. Let's not jump to a conclusion that because somebody that whose language we don't understand was laughing, that they were laughing at us. They were simply laughing. That is what we know. And beyond that, the critical response, the mindfulness approach, helps us maybe not attribute a meaning right away to that, because sometimes the meanings we attribute to things are negative meanings, and maybe that's just not the case at all.
Right. If you slow that down and view it with such intent, you probably probably better off to think about it later on.
Yeah.
Let that sink in. Yeah. Cool. How is the show evolved as it started? You said it's been around for, what, 4 years, you said?
Well, we actually started touring it last year.
Okay.
It's been in production on and off for 4 years, and it started out as a longer piece. It was an hour and 20 minutes, and it had a live narrator in it. And over time, it became clear that the voice of the narrator, even though it was originally in my mind intended to kind of hold things together, it created hiccups. It created a disruption in the rhythm of the show. So we eliminated the narrator completely, and things that the narrator was saying, the actors and the singers, I mean, we as singers have taken those on, and we have incorporated those into our own show. We have shortened the piece, taken out some musical examples. There's so much good music, and as a musician, I was tempted to, oh, I can't leave this out, I can't leave that out. But really, I can, because the production is a symbolic piece. The fact that we're using 8 languages in the show is just a symbol for the over 400 languages that we speak in the Americas.
Right.
The fact that we have 6 central themes represented is only a symbol of other themes that also join us together as humans. So I decided really the exact piece of music that I take out here isn't going to make a difference to the message, but we gain by making it shorter and more streamlined and improving the rhythm. So it's just grown as far as artistic maturity.
Right. It sounds like it's really tightened up and become a single thing. And you mentioned the music and the songs you add and take out. What kind of songs can audiences expect to hear?
It's purposefully a mixture of very well-known pieces that everybody the world over recognizes and very regionally known or locally known pieces that maybe most people in the audience haven't heard. So you will hear something as famous as the jazz piece called It Don't Mean a Thing. The whole world knows that.
Yep.
But then the Lakota Lullaby, maybe nobody has heard in the audience. So I purposely mix very emblematic pieces of the Americas with very locally known pieces, again, to create that diversity. And finally, the mix of languages. I mean, you'll be able to understand about half of it if you only speak English.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing I did was what audiences can expect to hear is that about half the pieces are written by women or made famous by women. Because I wanted to make sure that the demographic of female versus male was represented. And in some cases, it's not a binary. I mean, a couple of the authors represented in in the show would identify neither as female nor male.
Mm-hmm.
And so I tried to create a balance also in the source of the pieces.
Okay, nice. Very nice. If someone wanted to bring, like you mentioned, corporate events and schools, if someone wanted to bring America's 3 to their area, how could they go about doing that?
Well, you go to americas3.com, and that's spelled Americas, plural, and then the number 3 attached right to the word Americas. americas3.com, and that gives you a way to connect to us.
Okay, cool. What is it that you would ultimately like to see audiences take away, if you could say that in briefly? I know that might be hard to sum up.
It is very difficult to sum up. I suppose what I would like them to take away is my point of departure. America is gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
It is our home. And let's love all of it. And again, by saying America, I consciously mean North and South.
Right. And it sounds like it's more than just the gorgeousness of the geography or topography. It's the gorgeousness
of
the people and culture.
The people, right? the cultures. It's simply gorgeous. And let's do what we can to love it and protect it.
Excellent. I love it. Well, America's 3 was at Winona State University last Wednesday, November 7th. And if you'd like to see them in your area, go to americas3.com. That's americas with the number 3.com. I've been here talking to Karine Stein, and she's with America's 3, which is sounds like a wonderful music group that you can learn a lot from. So thanks so much for being on our show today, Karine.
And thanks for having me.
Work all night on a drink of rum.
Then I come and we wanna go home.
Stack banana till the morning come.
Then I come and we wanna go home.
Thanks again to Karine Stein for joining us today on Culture Click. For more information, go to americas3.com. That's americas, the number 3.com. I'm Bill Stoneberg, and you've been listening to Karine Stein of America's 3 on Culture Click.
Creating cultural awareness and understanding. You've been listening to Culture Click. Support for Culture Click is made possible by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Culture Click is produced by KQAL-FM on the campus of Winona State University. For more information, look us up on the web at kqal.org. And thanks for listening to Culture Click.
Do you want to know about all things Winona and the surrounding area? Tune into Culture Click Thursdays at 12:30 right here on 89.5 KQAL. Culture Click is made possible by a grant from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.